Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Boy, I got some big stuff to cover with you today. Wow, quite the week, hey? I think that we are rapidly nearing the apex of an epic constitutional battle. And where is Jeff Sessions on getting some investigations and prosecutions going of the widely ranging and ever-expanding Obama cabal of treasonous crooks at the FBI, DOJ, State Department, and within his White House itself? Where is he? Well, anyway, we're not going to dwell on that too much this morning. However, we are going to... I promised you last week, or told you last week, that I would be telling you a lot of stuff, back stuff, that's not well known about Robert Mueller, who, despite everybody talking about his service to country, etc., you know, God bless him. Glad he was in the armed services. Glad he did this, that, and the other. But, you know, I think the analogy I gave last week is if a murderer, if a doctor, who's the greatest doctor in the world, who saves thousands of lives, who dedicates his life after 12 years of school and all sorts of expense to get his degree, if he commits murder, it doesn't matter what he did before. Maybe in the sentencing part of his prosecution. But when he commits murder, from then on, he's dirty. He's a criminal. And Robert Mueller is a dirty cop, just like his buddy Comey and his buddy Rosenstein and his little cabal of dirty cops, Wiseman et al. I'm doing a lot more research on this. I mean, I think that the show after next, I'm going to get into Mueller himself, and we're going to go way back in time when he first began as a prosecutor. And there is just instance after instance after instance of his prejudice, his overzealous pursuit of the wrong people. In a number of cases, his prosecution and conviction of people later overturned. His political bias, which led him to cast blind eyes towards certain people that he allied with ideologically or that he was friendly with. When you hear this show week after next, you're going to just shake your head. But today, I'm going to tell you just a little bit of background on Comey that's just come to light that you don't know. And it ties right in. It's going to be the foundation to what I'm going to tell you about Mueller. But I am going to bring you, and this is going to be most of the show, this very, very disturbing information on mind control through electronic waves, radio waves, and it goes way back. The military and the CIA have been working on mind control since the 1950s. I did a lot of research on this, and I'm going to give you some sites and some references you can look up for yourself. Remember last week I was talking about how all these mass shooters, or virtually all, have the same MO. They heard voices in their head. They all have the same kind of vacant, half-crazed look in their eyes. I mean, they all kind of look alike. If you put all the pictures of these shooters up, with the exception of some of the Islamic terrorists, the similarity in the look, in the energy, just from a picture, is strikingly similar. And I'm going to just give you facts this morning. You can draw your own conclusions. I will tell you, if you look at Las Vegas, which, of course, we're still involved in a huge cover-up there that the press, they're more concerned with Stormy Daniels. And they don't want to talk about 500 Trump supporters being wounded and 58 being killed. That's just not a big deal. Or the cover-up that is obviously going on relative to that whole deal. I posted three articles from this week, new stuff on Las Vegas, which intrepid reporters have dug up. They are posted under Terror, which is where I've posted all the Las Vegas shows. And if you go back to last October, you can listen to my show. I think it was one of the best in media in terms of breaking down what happened down there, what people saw, the various witnesses. By the way, a number of whom have mysteriously died. 82, I think, of them. 82. I mean, that's actually more than the death toll on Hillary's watch. You know, of her friends and people who had confidences. I did a show on that, too. You can put it in the search bar. Just put in Clinton in the search bar. I'm sure that show will come up. It was actually a two-part show because, you know, when 47 people who are close to you mysteriously die, when eight of them die in private plane wrecks, what are the odds of 47 of your close confidants dying? And eight of them in private plane crashes. I mean, do you know how rare private plane crashes are? Wow. Anyway, you can listen to that show. That's not what today is about. I'm not going to give you really a story this morning. I'm going to give you kind of a story, a historical story, which I think you'll find pretty fascinating. And then I'm going to introduce a little bit of levity because, you know, after this last week or two, I think we all need just a little bit of levity. And I got something great that you're going to love. Then we're going to go over a rapid fire, like a machine gun of news that the rest of the media isn't covering. And when I say a machine gun, I mean it's going to be boom, 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 because we don't have time. Since I'm going to be doing this mind control thing that I've been researching. And it started fascinating me. I'm going to digress for a moment. It began to fascinate me, I think it was a year and a half ago, when I started noticing these similarities in these mass murderers. And it didn't really matter, I mean, whether they used a gun or they used a vehicle or whatever they did. The similarities, there are no coincidences, folks. No coincidences whatsoever. In any event, let's get started. Let's start off with our rapid fire, and then I'll do my story, because I know all you guys like the story. Let's start off with some rapid fire news that, I guess the rest of the world just doesn't think is important, you know. Number one, did you know that China, on those islands that they literally built from underwater in the South China Sea, so they can control both the oil resources and the $3 trillion of shipping. $3 trillion. I mean, it's a big number of shipping that passed through the South China Sea. As of yesterday, it was learned that they installed, like, the most advanced land-to-ship cruise missiles. And they can take out any ship, maybe a warship would have some defenses, I don't know. But they can take out any ship within 300 miles of any one of those islands. It's going to be interesting to see what Trump does with that. What would I do with that? Well, I guess I'd take them out. I mean, I think the Chinese, who are hell-bent, I have said this time and time again, Russia is not the problem. Radical Islam, as pervasive and as horrible as it is not the problem. Both are problems. But the problem in our future is China. And make no mistake about this. China is out to control the world. Economically, militarily, geographically, and in terms of the control of natural resources. Make no mistake about it. Anyway, That's one little quick little news bit for you that, you know, I guess the press just doesn't think it's important. I don't know. Then there was the liberals, you know, these peaceful liberals that want to disarm us. And by the way, a congressman, I can't stand the guy. He's on TV often, and he's just a typical progressive, smug, alt-left, nasty California. So he is now introduced. He wrote an op-ed actually, and what he said was all semi-automatic weapons, assault weapons. They never defined those. Need to be confiscated, and you'll get paid. This is kind of the Australia plan. You'll get paid if you turn your weapon in. If you don't, you're going to get prosecuted. Okay. Well, I don't know. What are there, 15, 20 million folks with semi-automatic rifles and another 50 or 60 million folks with semi-automatic pistols? This could be interesting. And by the way, it puts to bed forever this BS the left. Oh, we just want common sense gun controls. You know, some background checks, some this. No, they want all the guns, folks. And they want all the guns for all the reasons I've discussed in so many shows. It is about control. It is not about safety. They couldn't care less. They couldn't care less about those 17 kids of Parkland, the 50 or so that were killed in the nightclub, the Pulse nightclub down there. They certainly don't care about the almost 600 people killed or wounded in Las Vegas. I mean, that's apparent. And this is what they want. They want your guns. I think you better keep that in mind come November. Okay, another one. Okay. Facebook now wants every user to report. And by the way, I have several of the high-tech, in-your-face, trying-to-control-politics and your minds articles posted under the Constitution section on the website, on the rightsideradio.com, and I'm going to keep posting them there because it is a constitutional issue. So Facebook asks every user to report anything they think is fake news or that is hostile or affronting. And Zuckerberg came out, you know, once again, not being covered by the news, whatever. Zuckerberg came out and said that he is actually going to, he's going to beef up Facebook's control over hostile reporting and fake news and, you know, what I guess whatever they think it is. The Southern Poverty Law Center, as a little adjunct to this, it has been reported a little bit, not much. The Southern Poverty Law Center, who is an alt-left, nasty group of people, I mean, a true alt-left hate group, has been retained, shall we say, by Facebook to help them vet fake news. Oh, well, that's great. And by the way, do you know who Facebook hired? This is just yesterday. Do you know who Facebook hired to help them try and not, shall we say, tamper with conservative thought and conservative algorithms and all that kind of good stuff? Eric Holder's law firm. You can't make this stuff up. Anyway, I think we know where Facebook stands. And then, of course, we have John Brennan, traitorous ex-CIA chief appointed by Obama, threatening the president with some unknown Mueller's going to do XYZ to you. John Brennan and Clapper, proven liars under oath, by the way. I mean, proven perjurers. Those two guys still have their top security clearances. Sorry, that was a slight yawn. It's early in the morning. They still have their security clearances while they're working at CNN. A year and a half after they were booted out of their Obama deep state shadow government positions by Trump. Now, how does that happen? Tell me, how does that happen? Apparently, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page still have their top security clearances. Unbelievable. I mean, Jeff Sessions, like, where are you, man? I hear you say something about you're sending 18 new judges or 18 new processors and 35 judges and all this stuff down to meet the caravan there in California. But where are you on, like, yeah, that's important, but where are you at on the future of the republic, which is really what this rule of law question with these treasonous criminals in these agencies, that's really where it comes down to. The next thing, the University of Utah has now established a cry room. Oh, how nice. So all the snowflakes can go there, and if they have any stress whatsoever over anything, they can go into this nice, lavishly furnished, I guess padded walls, who knows, cry room and have a good cry. And they get 10 minutes. You get 10 minutes in there by yourself to cry and relieve yourself of stress so that you can go about your life. That's great. Just terrific. California. So they passed, overwhelmingly, of course, they passed this law which bans printed materials, which, in their subjective opinion, promulgate, push, talk about violence or ideas which could lead to violence. Boy, I can only imagine what the California State Thought Police would glom onto with that. And by the way, under the definition of this law is the Bible. In effect, California has outlawed the Bible. Wow. Unbelievable. Obamacare. So now Obamacare, as it was intended to do, this is not Trump's doing, this is Obama's doing. So now you have to expend your full deductible on Obamacare before you can get into, quote unquote, the goodies, the limited stuff that Obamacare covers. So you're getting socked with skyrocketing premiums. And now you're getting socked with, you got to pay your entire deductible up front before they pay a dime. Terrific. Nobody's covering that. If the Republicans had repealed it, I guess we wouldn't be talking about this right now. Dick's Sporting Goods. Oh, yes. You know, they're on our list of vendors not to frequent. Our boycott, the On the Right Side radio boycott list. And they've been on there since they said they wouldn't sell the guns to anybody under 21, and they're not going to sell any assault weapons and blah blah blah. And then they went a step further and said they're going to destroy their entire stock of assault weapons. Yeah, I believe that. Now, Dick's Sporting Goods has actually hired gun control lobbyists. Listen to this now, gun control lobbyists to represent them. You know, I think a really good economic play would be to short Dick's Sporting Goods stock. You might do really, really, really well on that. And let's see, what are some of the other fun, I'm putting that in quotes, what are some of the other fun things that we have here on this machine gun stuff? Oh, yeah, the peaceful liberals, you know, that want to take guns away to keep us all safe, they're not so peaceful that they aren't going now to spokespeople or executives in the NRA or any business that supports NRA and camping out at their house, folks, and harassing the families under, of course, the guise of the First Amendment, free speech, when they want to abolish the Second Amendment so that they can eventually get rid of the First Amendment. It all makes sense to me. How about to you? Democrats in several of the eastern states have, remember now, the Democrats say they're the party of women, you gals out there. They're all about women. Those nasty Republicans, they just hate women. Never mind that female unemployment is at a 17-year low. Yeah. Well, these Democrats in these several eastern states, I think, led by Massachusetts, have refused to pass any bills which outlaws female genital mutilation. If it's on religious grounds. Gee, is this more of this unholy alliance between the alt-left and radical Islam? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Oh, here's another one for you. There's groups that are attempting to block. Oh, wow. There's groups that are attempting to block a government terror report. There was an extensive report that has been developed over the last year since Trump came into office. Remember, this was all tamped down by Mueller and Obama and Comey and all those guys, and particularly Loretta Lynch. I have a whole thing I'm going to go over week after next. Oh, my producer is asking me to tell you why all this stuff is week after next. Well, I have a little family deal going, which should be fun, and it's going to be very difficult for me to broadcast next Saturday. So instead, the producers are going to put up my almost two-hour interview by not Art Bell, George Noory. I'm way in the past here. Poor Art Bell died a month or two ago, the guy who started Coast to Coast. But Coast to Coast is the most widely listened to radio show, with the exception of one or two, and the most widely listened to at night, Coast to Coast Radio. And I was on for 2 hours with George Noory on Agenda 21, which is basically the United Nations plan. And by the way, this is real-life stuff, folks. You can't make it up. Go to UN.org, type in Agenda 21. You can read it for yourself. Let me tell you what the preamble starts with. Private property is the root of social injustice. Does this kind of tell you where they're going with this? In any event, this is the UN's plan to abolish private property, move in everybody into little cubicles in cities, and you all ride bicycles to work. I'm really not exaggerating. You have to read it. But I think you'll find the interview fascinating and the call-ins that we got from folks all around the country fascinating. And given what's going on with this, I really believe it, this end battle for the soul of the Republic, which is underway right now, right in front of our eyes, and it's nothing less than that. It is a battle for the soul and the future of this Republic. I think that this show ties in beautifully with that. By the way, the Agenda 21 deal of the United Nations has now been beefed up. It's even more nasty than when first written. And it's now called Agenda 2030. I guess Donald Trump put a 10-year crimp in their plans, which is probably why he was elected. Boulder, Colorado. They actually passed their anti-assault, anti-semi-automatic weapon ban. And just like our little congressman out there in California wants to do, you got 60 days to turn them in, or they're going to be slapping you with fines and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Okay. Good old Boulder, the Berkeley of the Rockies, the Berkeley of the Rockies. And then we have, oh yeah, oh this is good. This is good. So there is, there was a ruling by a federal court on DACA. Now remember, Barack Obama said 27 times that he could not constitutionally do a program like DACA. And then, in the year before he left office, he did the DACA program. So, we have a situation where the DACA program is entirely unconstitutional by repeated, more than a score of admissions, by the same guy who then did the DACA plan. This is another one of his poison pills. A federal judge, and Trump is entirely justified, constitutionally and otherwise, by eliminating the previous unconstitutional order of a previous president. There's actually a liberal judge, appointed by Obama. Oh, my. I believe he's in Massachusetts. Good old Massachusetts. And maybe he was the same judge who presided over the it's okay to do genital mutilation or something. Anyway, we have a judge out there who said that, and he instituted a nationwide moratorium. Like, these judges are out of control, folks. Now you know why it's so important that Donald Trump's judges get appointed and that we retain control of Congress, the House and the Senate. I mean, can you imagine if the entire judiciary was stacked with judges like this one or that Obama buddy out there in Hawaii who issued a nationwide moratorium on the travel ban, or that moron in San Francisco who issued a nationwide ban on some other deal, which was thrown up by the Supreme Court. Anyway, this judge has ruled that he does not have the power to undo Obama's DACA Act. So the President of the United States does not have the power to use the Constitution to take out an unconstitutional rule by a previous president, who admitted it was unconstitutional 27 times before he did it. Gotcha. Okay. Huh. I should have gone to law school. Maybe I would have understood all this. Oh, and then we have the news of the caravan. So we find out that actually Mexico has been talking about how they broke it up and they did this and they did that. And I talked last week about how Americans, you know, the open borders crowd, they cobbled back together part of the caravan and coached people on what to say when they got the border and the whole nine yards. And it seems to be the only thing Jeff Sessions is not too timid to take a stand on. At least there's something he's not too timid to take a stand on. In any event, this caravan deal, while Sessions is talking about all the judges and the assistant U.S. attorneys he's sending down there to handle this, and the United States is not going to be overrun by a caravan or anything else, I think that's almost that quote. In the meantime, 28 of the 150 or so people in the caravan have already been led into the United States and processed, or they are in the process of being processed for asylum. Okay, great. I mean, you know, once again, I'm interested in the actions. I'm not interested. I'm done with all the word stuff, folks. I'm done with all the word stuff. And here's another one for you. Canada, you know, good old liberal Canada, Trudeau up there in Canada, Trudeau, the citizen of the world, Trudeau, they are now raising holy Hades because all these undocumented, to use their words, illegal aliens in our parlance, all these folks, the latest wave being from Nigeria, the former wave being from Haiti, are leaving the United States and walking across the Canadian border and requesting asylum from the United States because they're so scared of Donald Trump. Oh my God, I came here illegally. I've been deported 3 times. I came back every time, and I've raped, I've pillaged, I've burned, I've looted, and I just feel persecuted in the United States. It's just not safe for me there. So you need to give me asylum, oh Canada. Now the Canadian government's asking the United States to tighten up its immigration laws. Wow. Oh my. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I have a bunch of stuff posted, by the way, under the politics section. Several interesting House and Senate races, once again. And I'm going to be talking about this just virtually every week from now to November 2018. If you want to see the judiciary reformed and at least tilted again in conservative and constitutional favor and against these left-wing nut jobs that Obama put in, then we got to hold the House and the Senate. I mean, particularly the Senate. If you want to see another conservative Supreme Court justice appointed to the Supreme Court, we have to hold the Senate. If you want to see any of Trump's policies survive and his dismantling of the deep state survive and hopefully the investigation and prosecution of all these treasonous actors in the Obama administration go forward, then you better get motivated. Oh, by the way, did I mention keeping your guns? You better get motivated. I don't care what you send these people. Pick the ones you want. But send them $10, $20, $50, $100, whatever. Get involved, folks. Stand up. And by the way, there was a good poll that came out this week. Another little staccato for you. It seems that in virtually every toss-up state, so to speak, the Republican, even as a generic candidate, is ahead of the incumbent Democratic Senate candidate in every state. Now, what that means is not a lot, other than to kind of gauge general mood of the electorate. But it does give you some hope that this blue wave, which the press and the Democrats have manufactured out of thin air to convince people, this kind of mind control on the media level, that's going to, you know, their hopes, I think, are a little high. Why don't we say it that way? But to make sure that their hopes are high, folks, you got to get involved. Send these candidates some money. Send them some money. Let me give you two more. Let me move. I got papers all over the place here. Let me move to another broadcast station. Yeah, here we go. On this Canadian deal, one of the United States, Canadian immigration authorities are asking their U.S. counterparts to more strictly enforce U.S. immigration laws to help combat Canada's growing refugee problem. Huh. Canada immigration authorities facing an influx of asylum seekers from Nigeria want the United States to enhance their enforcement of existing U.S. immigration laws. The political environment, you'll love this, the political environment for refugees is becoming more hostile under President Donald Trump. And many are abusing the United States visa system. For example, Nigerians seeking refuge in Canada have been requesting temporary U.S. tourist visas only to walk across the Canadian border before their visas expire. Huh. Fundraising. You know that poll I was just telling you about? That's one little indicator maybe of an electorate that if they see something going on that kind of gets them riled up is going to go out and vote so we don't have the quote-unquote blue wave. One of the measures of enthusiasm is how much money folks raise. Now, the individual campaigns, which are under the politics section on the website that you should contribute your 10, your 20, your 50, your 100, whatever to, this is different than fundraising on the national level, but nonetheless, I think these figures are telling. In December, the RNC, the Republicans, raised $11.1 million, the Democrats $5.2 million. For 2017, the Republicans raised $132.5 million, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, how about the Democratic Progressive Committee, the DPC, raised $65.9 million. Cash on hand, Republicans $38.8 million, Democrats $6.3 million. Debt, Republicans zero, Democratic National Committee $6.1 million. Kind of interesting figures. All right, before I get into the meat of the show here, I mean, I could have gone on for an hour and a half with staccatos here that are just not being covered, all of which are pretty damn important. For instance, inflation is now higher than it's been in a number of years. Gas, oil is up 50% in the last year, which, by the way, folks, not only translates to a hit on your pocketbook and your wallet, but it increases the cost of delivering goods because of trucks and trains and all that kind of stuff, which increases the cost of every other thing you buy. You know, everything you buy has to get to you or get to the store that you're going to go buy it at. I mean, this is a wide-ranging thing. But here I am. I mean, once I'm getting sucked into the staccato and I want to stick to the stuff. But we're going to take a little break. We're going to take a little break before we get into treasonous Comey, dirty cop Comey, which we're going to do briefly. And then we're going to get into mind control. And the mind control stuff is scary stuff. And you will be amazed. You'll be amazed at how long it's been going on and how hard our government, and the Russian government, by the way, has been working on it. Well, first of all, let me tell you this little story. So the year is 1507 AD, And there's this author, you know, this kind of caught my attention. There's this author. He's a German by the name of Martin Waldseum. Waldseemüller, Hopefully I pronounced that right. I don't want to insult you, Martin, even though you've been dead for 400 years or so. And his whole goal was because he sensed that the public over there in Europe were really interested about these huge expeditions. You know, the Columbus expedition, the Vespucci expedition, the Hudson expedition, all those expeditions across the ocean in search of new continents. They were kind of, in their day, that was kind of like us sending a man to the moon. I mean, really, that's a fair analogy. The concept of taking those pretty fragile sailing ships in those times and sailing them across what they knew was a huge ocean. They didn't know how huge it was. In search of lands where they weren't even sure were there is pretty much like us sending a man to the moon. So there was a lot of public interest in it, and he decided to publish a book which would include maps of the places that these early explorers had been to, survived, and come back. And his book was like an instant bestseller. Now, obviously, it was a New York Times bestseller. There was no New York Times or USA or Amazon or whatever. But it was a bestseller. Maybe it was the London Library Archives. I have no idea. And he wanted to name these new places that these explorers had found. And even though Columbus had been there first, Columbus was embroiled, I don't know if you know this or not, in a huge lawsuit, believe it or not, with the Spanish government. Because the Spanish government was saying everything that he touched belonged to Spain. And he was saying, no. You know, I took the three ships over there. I risked my life, and I get a cut of the action. By the way, eventually Columbus lost the lawsuit and wound up in a Spanish prison. Not many people know that either. But there was another guy by the name of Amerigo Vespucci. And Amerigo, unlike Columbus, who was embroiled in litigation with the crown, the Spanish crown, Amerigo was out there kind of, doing the celebrity tour, for whatever that was in 1507. I guess maybe you stood on the back of a wagon and told people how great you were, and then the oxen pulled you to the next village and you did the same thing. I have no idea. But anyway, he was marketing himself. So therefore, his name was more prominent in Waldseemüller's writings. And Waldseemüller, because he had to name these new places that these guys had been to, called the new lands Amerigo, which of course became America. And actually, the new lands that those folks had been to first was South America, and it was called South America when the lands north, the other continent, North America, was discovered. But that is how America got its names, folks. That's why it wasn't called Columba or whatever. It was a German author and mapmaker in 1507 AD. I thought that was kind of a fascinating little historical tale, which kind of ties into everything we're talking about, because America is the home of the Constitution, and the Constitution is under attack. And I mean, it's intentional attack, by the way. Now, for some humor for you. So, I forget what they call this in literary circles. I think it's called a lexophile. L-E-X-O-P-H-I-L-E. A lexophile. And this is when you kind of play on words, so to speak. So, like, you can't tune a fish, right? You can't tune a fish. All right. Or here's another one for you. To write with a broken pencil is pointless. I kind of like that. Anyway, there's an annual competition that the New York Times holds. And in this last week or so, it was published the best lexophiles of the year. And I got to share these with you because some of them are really, really, really good. And they'll give you a little grin here before we get into the stuff which is not so smiley, shall we say. No matter how you push the envelope, it'll still be stationary. I love that. If you don't pay your exorcist, you can get repossessed. I'm sorry, I'm cracking myself up here. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. I just can't put it down. Oh, my. I didn't like my beard at first, then it grew on me. Did you hear about the cross-eyed teacher who lost her job because she couldn't control her pupils? You know, P-U-P-I-L-S, pupils. Okay. When you get a bladder infection, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Okay. When chemists die, they bury them. B-A-R-I-U-M. They bury them. people are great. These are great. I stayed up all night to see where the sun went, and then it dawned on me. I changed my iPod's name to Titanic. It is sinking, S-Y-N-C-I-N-G, now. Oh, some of them are kind of morbid, too, I guess. England has no kidney bank, but it does have Liverpool. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of emails on my breaking this up with the laughter here. Haunted French pancakes give me the creeps. K-R-E-P-E-S, the crepes. The girl said, she recognized me from the Vegetarians Club, but I swear I've never met her before. H-E-R-B-I-V-O-R-E. Clever. And then we still have a few more here because I know you're just cracking up. You're rolling on the floor. You can barely drive your car if you listen to the podcast or you're listening to AM. Oh, I know a guy who's addicted to drinking brake fluid, but he says he can stop anytime. That was not that great. A thief who stole a calendar got 12 months. When the smog lifts in Los Angeles, UCLA. I got some batteries that were given out free of charge. That's pretty good. A dentist and a manicurist married. They fought tooth and nail. A will is a dead giveaway. Oh, my. With her marriage, she got a new name and a dress. Police were summoned to a daycare center where a three-year-old was resisting arrest. Did you hear about the fellow whose entire left side was cut off? He's all right now. Oh, that must have been written by Freddy the Axe guy or Freddy the Chainsaw guy, whatever. A bicycle. Let me see if I can read my handwriting here. Oh, yes. A bicycle can't stand alone. It's just too tired. T-W-O, tired. The guy who fell onto an upholstery machine last week is now fully recovered. He had a photographic memory, but it was never fully developed. When she saw her first strands of gray hair, she thought she'd die, D-Y-E. Okay. Acupuncture is a jab well done. That's the point of it. That one didn't do much for me. And the last one for you, those who get too big for their pants will be totally exposed in the end. All right. I kind of got a kick out of those. I hope you did too. Now, for stuff which is not so amusing, and let's talk about Mr. Comey. As a foundation to my show, 2 weeks from now, Mr. Comey, I don't think you've heard this stuff before. I hadn't. From 2001, and by the way, ties right in, this is the foundation of the Mueller show I'm going to do. From 2001 to 2005, there was an ongoing investigation into the Clinton Foundation. They had impaneled a grand jury. There were, you know, at that time, even then, governments from around the world had been sending millions and tens of millions of dollars to this so-called charity that then paid all the Clintons' expenses. I mean, they paid them to breathe, like tens of millions of dollars. None of the donations from 2001 to 2003 to the Clinton Foundation were ever declared, you know, for tax status. Do you know who took over that investigation, folks, in 2002? James Comey. Yep. And guess who was transferred in to the Internal Revenue Service to run the tax exemption branch? That would be where declared or undeclared donations to a quote-unquote charitable organization, a la the Clinton Foundation. This is where it would all be looked at and audited and studied, et cetera, et cetera. So you know who was transferred in? Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner. And then, guess who ran the tax division, which, by the way, is in the Department of Justice, right? The tax division. From 2001 to 2005. Okay, you had Lois Lerner over at the IRS. You had Comey supposedly investigating. You had Lois Lerner opining on whatever Comey would tell her, which was probably, here's some stuff, make sure it doesn't stick. And then you have a tax division because they prosecute stuff just like Clinton was doing, you know, undeclared tens of millions from foreign governments. The IRS doesn't prosecute. The IRS kind of determines what's going on. And then the Department of Justice prosecutes. And do you know who at that time was the head of the prosecution division? It's called the tax division at the Department of Justice. From 2001 to 2005, give me three guesses. Oh, yes. Assistant Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Wow. And do you know who the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation was during this time frame when Lois was not referring or referring with a wink and a nod, whatever Comey had given her to Rod Rosenstein? Robert Mueller was the head of the FBI at that time. Amazing. So all these characters were involved in exonerating Hillary Clinton going way back to 2001. Way back to 2001. Now, if you happen to think that that's all just coincidence, you know, because I know some of you libs out there who love to listen to me because you hate me, you're going, oh, you know, this is a big deal. That could happen anytime. I mean, you know, what are you like, what's strange about this? I'll tell you what, let's go to 2009. So James Comey, and I've reported this to you before, he leaves the Justice Department. He goes to work at Lockheed Martin, more or less as a lobbyist. Hillary Clinton at that time is running the State Department. And, of course, here comes the Uranium One deal. Well, That was the sale of 20% of the U.S. uranium stockpile or in the ground reserves when we were importing uranium because we don't have enough to Russia. Right before the sale's approval, as you probably know, Clinton goes and gets $500,000 for a speech in Moscow and then meets for several hours privately with Vladimir Putin. The same Vladimir Putin, by the way, that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are jumping up and down about being best buds with Donald Trump. Same Vladimir Putin. And the whole thing is reported on. I did a whole show on this. Go just type in Uranium One in the search bar. It's reported by an undercover FBI agent who's also an American businessman. And then Attorney General Loretta Lynch slaps him with a gag order so he can't say anything. He has since testified to Congress just in the last several months. But for a long time, he was basically told, if you say anything about your work for the FBI, you're going to go to jail or worse. Robert Mueller, personally, and I've reported this to you before, delivered a uranium sample from the Uranium One mines to Moscow in 2009. And do you know who was investigating this stuff that was coming from this informant who, by the way, the FBI kept, like, on their staff and continued to pay until 2016? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A guy by the name of, you guessed it, Rod Rosenstein, Rod Rosenstein, who at that time was then at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Maryland. Well, shortly after, as I've also reported, $145 million in donations from the Russians, including all 9 board members of the company involved in the Uranium One deal, go to the Clinton Foundation. And guess who opined that those donations, which were disclosed, which, by the way, was not all the donations, guess who opined that everything was hunky-dory? Oh, yeah, Lois Lerner at the IRS. Lois Lerner. You still think that's all coincidences, folks? Let's go to 2015. Because of Benghazi and the investigations in the House, the Senate, etc., Trey Gowdy, who was running the 10th investigation as chairman of the Select Committee on Benghazi, discovers Hillary's secret server and private email and the fact that it contained classified, unauthorized information. He also discovered that those emails had not been turned over when she departed the State Department against the law. And then he discovered she had deleted the 33,000 emails, acid washed her hard drive, and then, with the help of the FBI now, destroyed the actual devices with hammers. I mean, literally, with hammers. Hammered them to death. Trey Gowdy, by the way, is also the one who discovered that top secret information was on that server and in her illegal private email. Well, you know the rest of the story, as they say. Comey drafts the exoneration letter before doing the last 18 interviews. He grants immunity to everybody. Hillary is interviewed by none other than Peter Strzok. That's about my third yawn. I apologize, listeners. I've been working all week. We're getting water on at the ranch, which is like dawn to dusk, particularly this year since we don't have a whole bunch of water. So it's about twice as much work making sure what you got is going to cover as much as it can. And I must admit, I'm kind of a tired pup here. So please excuse the yawn. Maybe the producers, maybe you'll all be scratching your head going, I don't hear any yawn. The producers are pretty good. Maybe they did the edits on them. Who knows? Only the producers will know. Anyway, what do you think about that stuff? Isn't that amazing? All that quote-unquote coincidence. Now, let's talk about mind control. A lot of this stuff, first of all, there's been rumors about mind control through radio waves and certain sonic type things, etc. I don't know if you remember about six, seven months ago, there were like 23 or 24 diplomats down in Cuba who were actually made sick by some kind of radio waves being beamed at the embassy. That was kind of a big deal, and then suddenly it went dark. Did you notice that? I'm really suspicious of stories which crop up for like 1 day or 1 hour's news cycle, and then suddenly you never hear another single word, period, about them. I mean, kind of like Las Vegas, you know what I'm saying? Which all kind of ties into this. And I've read articles, and in fact I've mentioned them just in passing on the show, about the Russians implementing successful mind control techniques as kind of a military asset, if you will. And, of course, we have the dots of all these shooters. What they look like, the stare in their eyes, the fact that the huge majority of them talk about hearing voices in their heads. I mean, yeah, these are all dots, but it boggles the mind. You almost go, no, this is like too sci-fi for me, man. I can't, no. This can't be going on. Well, we'll see. We'll see what you think when I'm done with my research here and share it with you. So we have, there was a FOIA request that was sent in by a guy by the name of Curtis Waltman. And he wanted to have all the information on the Washington State Fusion Center, which is a kind of a partner, a state partner with Homeland Security. And what he was really looking for was information about Antifa and white supremacist groups. But what he got was, he gets this file included in the stuff that was sent to him, obviously in error, and it was labeled EM effects on human body.zip. And lo and behold, the file had all sorts of stuff about remote mind control. And by the way, you can read this about more of it in Muckrock, MUCKROCK, if you want to. And there's diagrams of the human body and where to direct these energy waves and all that kind of stuff. And it's called psychoelectronic weapon effects. Quote, EM effects on human body.zip, psychoelectronic weapons effects. So, it had all these diagrams. And I'm going to be jumping around a little bit in this segment just to forewarn you, because my research covers different time periods. And although the story I'm telling you is, it's not a story, it's unfortunately fact, the facts I'm sharing with you are cohesive. They occur at different dates, both backwards and forwards. So bear with me just a little bit. There's diagrams of cell phone towers. I'm looking at them right now. And I believe this article is posted. Is it posted under producer Constitution? Yeah, I think it's posted under Constitution. And there's a number of links in it. I'm going to give you several other articles, the links to articles verbally that you can go look at, which we did not have time or room to pull and post. So one of the documents, one of the diagrams, shows these like cell phone towers with dotted lines toward individual people. And another one shows a truck with kind of a microwave thing on top of it pointed at a house. And another one shows a helicopter, once again, with the symbol for the energy waves being directed at either people or a house. I mean, it's really kind of spooky. It's really kind of spooky. Quote, one document lists the various forms of torment made possible by using remote mind control methods, from forced memory blanking and sudden violent itching inside eyelids to wild flailing followed by rigor mortis and a remotely induced forced orgasm. then they have all sorts of stuff in here. I'm not a radio wave guy, but they have all sorts of stuff in here about the different electronic signals, bioelectromagnetic field, which, by the way, they discovered was unique for every human body, electronic signal frequency ideal of each object. In other words, every object has its own electronic signal frequency. You know, I've often been fascinated with the energy of people, right? I'm sure that every single listener can relate to this. People have different energies, and you can feel it. I mean, if you're open to it at all, you can feel the energy in a person in 1 nanosecond. Looking at their eyes, watching them, being in the same room, shaking their hand, whatever it happens to be. You can feel it. I mean, I know all of you know what I'm talking about. And it seems that this research has uncovered a way to make each of our unique individual auras, our energy auras, if you will, to use them to transmit signals to susceptible people. Quite amazing. Quite amazing. Quite scary, actually. Quote, the human body emits very low electronic signal as temperature/heat, brainwave delta, theta, alpha, beta, gamma. And then they have human brain waves and the frequency ranges and all, you know, four, I guess it's hilohertz or whatever it is. I mean, I'm not trying to give you the scientific stuff. I'm giving you the broad view. I'm quoting from an article here. There's a number of them. The documents themselves are quite bizarre, and honestly, despite reports seeming to dismiss them, it is worth remembering that this is exactly what the CIA was working on for years during MKUltra. That's M-K-U-L-T-R-A. It was a secret program the CIA had, folks. The program was supposed to have been shut down after the Church hearings. Some of this came to light quite a long time ago, and there were hearings conducted in the Senate by Senator Church to shut this stuff down. But in fact, the intelligence agencies, gee, what a surprise, kept doing it clandestinely. And these documents, the zip file that this guy got, who wasn't even looking for it, he had requested something else in the FOIA, has all this information in it. That program, I'm quoting again, that program was supposed to have been shut down after the Church hearing, and other congressional hearings disclosed all the CIA's clandestine activities because it was a violation of human rights and it was experimentation on people without their knowledge and all sorts of stuff. Mainstream science, I'm quoting again now from another article, last year, that's 2017, it was revealed that the mainstream science had caught up with the Black Project world, the CIA, and had successfully weakened or strengthened particular memories from the brain or outright deleted inherited memories from mice. That's a story, by the way, in the Activist Post. You look it up, Activist Post. And there were a whole bunch of CIA in these documents that came out. Suddenly, we find out there was a whole bunch of CIA projects directed at mind control. One was called Bluebird, another Artichoke. Then there was the MKUltra project. Then there was MK Search and MK Naomi. I quote, the CIA sought to blank slate test subjects, wiping memories through drugs, electric shock, high-pitched sound, and other torture techniques. The Project Bluebird Artichoke document was kept hidden and under wraps and distracted from other sub-projects in MKUltra through an operation called Operation Dormouse. This, by the way, what I'm telling you now is the 50s and 60s, the 1950s and the 1960s, folks. And we know science has come a long way. And as I get more into this, you're going to find out just how far it has unbelievably, quite frighteningly come. The JFK files. This is kind of interesting. You may remember that Trump was going to release like the entire files because it's been 50 years, whatever, 55, and those files could then be released, those classified files from the JFK assassination. And in the end, quite to everybody's surprise, Trump released most of them, but there was like 35 pages or 38 pages that he did not release. And that are going to be in archives for another 5, 10, 15, whatever it is, years. And everybody was wondering what was in those documents. Well, what's really interesting is in this FOIA request that this guy got, and I hope he has armed security. I quote, the JFK files suggest that the CIA was using electromagnetic weaponry to accomplish this goal, which is how to turn somebody into a zombie and dictate their actions. And the way this got started, it appears, is that they began using electrodes, actually implanting electrodes in subjects' heads to see what they could get them to do, I guess, with a little frequency, shock, whatever. This technology became known in the Army as voice-to-skull technology. That was like 30, 40 years after the JFK stuff. This is the early 2000s. I'm going to read you one paragraph from this document because it's talking about voice-to-skull technology, which was kind of the end result of all these other experimentations with mind control using kind of more common methods, you know, the drugs and the sleep deprivation, all that kind of stuff. So this is where they start getting into the mind to skulls, where they get into the radio frequencies and the microwave frequencies, those that were most successful in wiping memories and controlling behavior. Paragraph 18. This is a very complex question, which we have divided into three parts. This is the Army now speaking, shall we say. One summary paper covers our involvement in research on techniques for influencing human behavior and on methods of protecting agency, the CIA, personnel against hostile use of drugs or brain-working techniques. This paper will be available shortly in a separate folder. Another paper will cover the development and testing of intelligence-related equipment and related research activities, including the testing of equipment to intercept conversations or electronic signals, and the testing of overhead reconnaissance systems. Remember that diagram I was telling you about? The helicopter, the truck with kind of the radar dish on it, and the cell phone tower? A third paper will cover testing of equipment, measuring physiological responses in human subjects. I mean, these guys were, this was serious, folks. This was serious. That's the early 2000s now. You know, kind of 40 years after when this all began in the 50s and 60s. In the mid-50s also, just to show you that this wasn't a purely American quest to control people's minds, there was a neurophysiologist by the name of Carl Wilhelm Sem Jacobson. And he built kind of his own EEG, you know, energy type thing, lab at the Gustad Psychiatric Hospital in Norway. Kind of remarkably, think about this now, he was funded by the Rockefeller, the Ford, and other foundations. Now, who are those folks? Oh, yeah, the leading proponents of globalism. Interesting. When his research got far enough along, guess who gave him lots and lots of lucrative contracts for his services, his research, and the continuous research? I bet you can't guess. Oh, that's right. The United States Air Force, Navy, and NASA. This included research, quote, using electrodes implanted in the brains of psych patients to carry out what many have said was unethical research, unquote. All this stuff became one of those projects I was telling you about, Project Artichoke. And apparently, in these documents are the records of thousands of unethical, according to this, unethical experiments on thousands of Americans for decades. Which, by the way, some of that was uncovered by the Church Committee, which is why everything, all this stuff was supposed to be shut down. You know, kind of like illegal FISA warrants, except this is a electromagnetic FISA warrant on your brain. Okay? That's the kind of the best analogy I can give you. There was another project called Project Chatter. This was a United States Navy, highly classified Navy program. And it began by searching for a truth drug that would get its victims to speak fast and honestly. And they tested all sorts of drugs, you know, which would work better, which would work faster, which would induce more quote-unquote truth from the subject. However, and by the way, this was 1947, folks. This is how early this project was. 1947, the United States Navy. Interesting. The studies also, quote, involved mind control experiments by hypnosis and narco-hypnosis. So the Navy abandons Project Chatter in 1953, and they start a new project called Project Perfect Concussion, which was just one of hundreds of sub-projects. In fact, sub-project 54 under McCultra. Hope you guys are following this. It's pretty fascinating. And this is when the scientists began to experiment using ultrasound signals to create amnesia. And the Navy was trying to create, and trust me, I'm not sure what all this stuff is, suboral frequency blasts which would be aimed at the subject right below the ear. The surmise in one of these articles is that what they're talking about, the suboral frequency blasts, are kind of like sonar, using sonar on your brain to get a desired result or wipe out a memory or invoke an action. There was another project. I mean, if you think this was just isolated, this was across the spectrum of intelligence agencies in the military, and still is, as you'll see as we keep going here. Project Moonstruck was another project, and that project kind of focused on electronic implants in your brain and your teeth, talk about toothache, to create, to invoke, to have mind and behavioral control, conditioning, programming, covert operations through quote, electronic stimulation of the brain, ESB. By the way, this guy who got this stuff turned it over to other people, and along with them, they started to really research it. They started to send in more FOIA requests for this specific information. And you know what's kind of funny? There's no documents on Project Moonstruck. They seem to have been misplaced. Kind of like maybe the stroke and page text messages, huh? Yeah, right. Those projects evolved into Operations Third Chance and Derby Hat, which, by the way, used LSD. I wonder where LSD came from. Could have come from a government lab. They used LSD to try and control subjects' memory and actions and perceptions, etc. Bill Clinton, here we go with Clinton again, actually apologized publicly after these programs were revealed and leaked, just in part, tiny part, you know, way back when. Because that they were undertaken after the church committee was supposed to shut it all down. There's a guy by the name of Ewan Cameron who was kind of backed by the CIA during Project McCultra. And he used electrodes to erase memories. That was his area of research. It was called psychic driving. In a 2012 lawsuit, which was filed by a veterans group, now you can see why I was going to warn you, I was going to bounce around just a little bit in time, which was filed against the CIA and the Department of Defense. That lawsuit refers to Cameron's methods. And the suit says that there's two researchers, Dr. Louis West and Dr. Jose Delgado, who were working together on the CIA McCulture project. And that was subproject 95. This gives you an idea how many projects were ongoing and how many agencies, intelligence agencies and departments of the United States on mind control. I mean, this is a ways back, folks. This isn't like yesterday. Subproject 95, which is what this lawsuit's about, utilized two protocols, quote, brain implants called Stimu Reavers and Rick Edom, that's RHIC-EDOM, radio hypnotic intracerebral control, electronic dissolution of memory. Let me repeat that kind of smoothly. Radio hypnotic intracerebral control, electronic dissolution of memory. And they were actually able to program people's minds. They found that certain people would be more susceptible to this stuff than others, particularly people who were under stress or sleep deprived. And they found that in many of these subjects, they could actually, not only could they wipe their memory slate clean, they could implant false memories. In 2006, there were some documents that were obtained in one way, shape, or form from U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command. The documents were titled Bioeffects of Selected Non-Lethal Weapons. This is in 1998, by the way. One of the topics in those papers was, quote, the effects of radio frequency directed energy, unquote. And the document talks about incapacitating effect and microwave hearing. In other words, voice to skull, which is what it's called now in the military and in the intelligence departments. Quote, this is right out of the document. There is no sound propagated through the air like normal sound. This technology in its crudest form could be used to distract individuals. If refined, it could also be used to communicate with hostages or hostage takers directly by Morse code or other message systems, possibly even by voice communication. So this is when they were really beginning to think about this voice-to-skull thing, 1998. By the way, this document is the first one that clearly states, quote, "The technology is able to be tuned into a single person like a radio station," unquote. And of course, let me just interject something here. So with social media today, and with all the electronics eavesdropping, Facebook knowing all your stuff, as I talked about last week, AOL and all the other outfits reading your emails, reading your archives like Google does. I mean, basically there is not a data byte of information, picture, video, email, text, that these people don't have, or that the government can't get, or that the government hasn't taken already through the NSA program. This phenomenon, let me read you this quote. "The phenomenon is tunable in that the characteristic sounds and intensities of those sounds depend on the characteristics of the RF energy as delivered. Because the frequency of the sound heard is dependent on the pulse characteristics of the RF energy, it seems possible that this technology could be developed to the point where words could be transmitted to be heard like the spoken word, except that it could only be heard within a person's head. In one experiment, communications of the words from 1 to 10 using speech-modulated microwave energy was successfully demonstrated. Microphones next to the person experiencing the voice could not pick up the sound. Additional development of this would open up a wide range of possibilities." This is back in 1998, folks, 20 years ago. And then the paper also discusses how to disrupt neural control. Quote, listen to this now, "which activates specific forms of behavior such as sexual, aggressive, or ingestive activities." I underline aggressive for a reason, obviously. So now we're coming into voice to skull. There's actually a patent that's been filed on this. That's kind of scary. And it's known as a hearing system. Quote, "Sound is induced in the head of a person by radiating the head with microwaves in the range of 100 megahertz to 10,000 megahertz that are modulated with a particular waveform," unquote. So now they're talking about not only can they start to introduce voices into people's heads using certain frequencies, additionally they can direct memory, erase or install, and direct actions and emotions. Apparently, I'm going a little slow here because I want to make sure you get this, because it's kind of mind-boggling. I mean, I was reading some of this stuff 2 and 3 times going, wow, you know, I kind of thought so, but wow. They then experimented, listen to this now. We know it as subliminal message, but they were actually experimenting, sending out different types of frequencies on airwaves through radio stations. Quote, "radio stations to broadcast a signal outside the human hearing range was used by the Pentagon, known as Silent Sound Spread Spectrum, SSSS, or SQUAD. U.S. Psychological Operations officers tested this technology on Iraqi troops in Kuwait during Operation Desert Storm in 1991. So basically, the Allies in 1991, in experimenting with this technology and trying to hone it, and then it went to 1998, and now it's at the Voice of Skull stage, as you'll see, they would take over, in many times, the radio stations not even knowing it, the Iraqi radio stations. And the clandestine station, I'm going to read this to you. "The clandestine station programming consists of patriotic and religious music and intentionally vague, confusing, and contradictory military orders and information to the Iraqi soldiers in the Kuwaiti theater of command called by Iraq KTO. The size and power of enemy forces was always intentionally exaggerated. In other words, they were telling the Iraqis subliminally through these hacked radio stations, for lack of a better term, that, you know, the Allied forces were 10 times the Iraqi forces, or whatever propaganda they were introducing. The size and power of enemy forces was always intentionally exaggerated. Surrender was encouraged. According to statements made by captured and deserting Iraqi soldiers, however, the most devastating and demoralizing program was the first known military use of the new high-tech type of subliminal messages referred to as ultra-high-frequency silent sounds or silent subliminals. That, by the way, is an article, if you'd like to look it up, in Newsweek, July 30th, 1990, page 61. Although completely silent to the human ear, the negative voice messages placed on the tapes alongside the audible programming by PSYOPS psychologists were clearly perceived by the subconscious minds of the Iraqi soldiers, and the silent messages completely demoralized and instilled a perpetual feeling of fear and hopelessness in their minds. They also experimented with holograms. You know, this is Star Trek, right? Except it's not Star Trek, it's real life. And the holograms, not only were they trying to project voices into people's heads, they were also trying to project images into people's heads. Quote, the Gulf War hologram story might be dismissed were it not the case that the Washington Post, folks, learned that a super secret program was established in 1994 to pursue the very technology for application to PSYOPs. That's like military psychology. The holographic projector, that's what the machine's called, is described in a classified Air Force document as a system, project information power from space for special operations deceptions missions. The source is the Washington Post, folks. A guy by the name of Steve Corman, who was writing in Comops Journal. It's kind of a military intelligence journal. And he was talking about his own encounter with this technology. At a government workshop some time ago, I heard someone describe a new tool that was described as the voice of Allah. This was said to be a device that would operate at a distance, would deliver a message that only a single person could hear. The story was that it was tested in a conflict situation in Iraq and pointed at one insurgent in a group who whipped around looking in all directions and began a heated conversation with his compatriots who did not hear the message. Now, believe it or not, the private sector is getting this too, folks. There's a company by the name of Holosonic Research Labs and another one, American Technology Corporations. They both have patents on certain types of directed sound, which can allow a single person to hear a message that nobody else can hear. They even sell kind of derivatives of this. Pretty scary. CNET also reported on the technology, if you want to dig around a little bit. And CNET noted that users, quote, don't hear sound through their ears, but instead the sound resonates and reverberates inside the person's head. The folks who heard, and this was being used for advertising then, the folks who heard the ad for ANAMP, E's TV show Paranormal State, emitted from a billboard in New York City's Greenwich Village, must have thought it was pretty weird. As they walked into their targeted area, they were exposed to highly focused sound, picked up not only by their ears, but by their skulls. The otherwise inaudible sound waves are experienced via bone conduction. The sound resonates inside the passerby's head. Is this clicking with you at all over what all these mass shooters say? Wait till I give you the end of the show. I mean, if that's not going to be the period at the end of the sentence of dots, I don't know what will be for you. The use of mind control, let me keep going here. The U.S. Army War College, 1994 again, predicted the use of mind control for assassinations, military takeovers, and enemy combatants. Quote, thought transmission units will send modulated electromagnetic wave beams to human receivers to to influence thoughts and actions without any electronic receiver. So, folks, this is not science fiction. It's been going on for a long time, and it just in the last 5 or 6 years, as you'll find out here as I conclude this, it's begun to be finessed so that it really, it's kind of past the experimentation stage. It's now at the implementation and improve stage. All right, so let's go to a guy by the name of Joseph C. Sharp. This guy conducted the first successful test of auditory microwave technology. This is, you know, the voice of skull stuff, which could, I quote, bypass the ears and beam sound directly into a person's head, unquote. This, by the way, this paper that he wrote was at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. Believe it or not, his original paper was dated 1973. You don't think this has been going on for a while? Yeah, it's been going on for a long while. Quote, Becker, this is another scientist, imagined barrages of voices driving an enemy insane and post-hypnotic suggestion radioed to programmed assassins directing the test subject to kill its target. Let me repeat that to you. Becker imagined barrages of voices driving an enemy insane and post-hypnotic suggestion radioed to programmed assassin directing the test subject to kill its target. There was a Navy captain by the name of Paul Tyler. This is also back in the 70s, 1976 to be exact. And by the way, for those of you who are looking this stuff up, T-Y-L-E-R. Captain Paul Tyler, United States Navy, USN. Quote, the electromagnetic spectrum in low-intensity conflict, a speed of light weapons effect, could be achieved with the passage of approximately 100 milliamperes, of directed frequency through the myocardium, leading to cardiac standstill and death. It's kind of like a ray gun. I mean, wow. Also in 1975, to show you how long this has been going on, a neuropsychologist, his name was Don Johnston. He was the director of the Laboratories of Experimental Neuropsychology at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Kansas City, the VA in Kansas City. And he, by mistake, leaked some national security information, NSI information. When he published an article, it's in the American Psychologist, you can look it up, on the influence of microwaves on living creatures' behavior, unquote. And the Navy's project had by this time, folks, we're in the late 90s, early 2000s, evolved in what was called Pandora, the Pandora Project, right? The Pandora's box of your brain, you bet. They want to control what's in that Pandora's box and control what the box does, the box being you or me. Let me read this to you. In the article, this Justison article that I was just telling you about, an American Psychologist, by radiating themselves with these voice-modulated microwaves, Sharp and Grove, they were two subjects, were readily able to hear, identify, and distinguish amongst 9 different words. Remember, guys, this is the 70s. The sounds that were heard were not unlike those emitted by persons with artificial larynxes. Another big hotshot in this stuff, Milton Zaret, Z-A-R-E-T. His specialty was kind of microwave type stuff. And he was recruited by Pandora, by the Pandora Project. The Pandora name, even though it was a Navy, so-called Navy project, actually came from the CIA, by the way. And it was codenamed for quote, the study of radio frequency directed brain response, unquote. So now they're beginning to get it down to the fact that there's certain frequencies that will have different effects. And they're audible. I mean, they literally echo inside your brain. These guys who continually now say, I hear voices in my head, this so ties in to what we're talking about. So ties in. In 2007, we're getting into more recent times, the Washington Post, I mean, these are not fly-by-night, you may not agree with the ideology of the Washington Post, but it's not a fly-by-night paper. In 2002, this is from the article, the Air Force Research Laboratory patented precisely such technology, using microwaves to send words in someone's head. Rich Garcia, spokesman for the Research Laboratory's Directed Energy Directorate, declined to discuss that patent or current or related research in the field, citing the lab's policy not to comment on its microwave work. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request filed for this article, the Air Force released unclassified documents surrounding that 2002 patent records that note that the patent was based on human experimentation in October 1994 at the Air Force lab, where scientists were able to transmit phrases into the heads of human subjects, albeit with marginal intelligibility. Research appeared to continue at least through 2002. Where this work has gone since is unclear. The research laboratory editing classification refused to discuss or release any other materials. That's 2007, folks. Gee, when was Columbine? Must be a coincidence. So some of the more recent experiments with this stuff shows that these low-frequency waves, think about the people who got hurt down in Cuba, the 23 diplomats who suffered brain damage, basically. But low-frequency waves or beams can affect brain cells, alter psychological states, and make it possible, listen to this, and make it possible to transmit commands directly into someone's thought process, making them think it's their own thoughts. I think that's, I can't tell you how frightening I think that is. In the 1940s, which is when these ideas first began to percolate, I mean, the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, when they were starting to understand what could be done, and then later, the 80s and 90s, they were beginning to implement those hypotheses. And in the 2000s, they were being implemented for sure, including in wartime situations. I mean, that's kind of the run of this deal, as voice-to-skull stuff. Voice-to-skull now encompasses all this stuff. But in the 1940s, going way back, a guy by the name of George Estabrooks, Harvard University graduate, Rhodes Scholar, chairman of psychology at Colgate University in Canada, blah, 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 you know, high mucky muck. Quote, acknowledged conducting extensive hypnosis work on behalf of the CIA, FBI, and military intelligence, creating Manchurian candidates. He boasted to Science Digest in 1971, quote, I can hypnotize a man without his knowledge or consent into committing treason against the United States, unquote. If you want to look up more of Bohart, by the way, you can look under Bohart, B-O-W-H-A-R-T, dot Operation Mind Control. All right. Then we have one of the first reported instances of a guy going crazy saying he was hearing voices in his heads. There was a headline. Man hallucinates, says microwaves are murdering him. This is in 1979. The Los Angeles Herald Examiner, if you want to be exact. The guy was an electronics engineer. His name was Leonard Kille, K-I-L-L-E. And he had founded this big scientific institute called the SEI, and he had done it, gee, big surprise, on behalf of and paid for by the CIA. Apparently, the CIA was also experimenting with Viet Cong prisoners at that time, with electrodes and stuff. I'm not going to get into that. This is really about mind control. It's not about its abuse or misuse in previous war situations. This is a warning to you for now in the future. And as foundation, I'm giving you some past stuff so that you better understand it, because it's huge, huge. In 1965, the New York Times reported, quote, obscure EMR experiments secretly funded by the government under the front page headline, Mind Control Coming, scientist warns. University of California psychology professor Dr. David Kreck is quoted warning, quote, EMR research may carry with it even more serious implications than the achievements of the atomic physicists, unquote. 1963. Now, what happened in 1963? This was released, what I'm about to tell you about, was released early in the year. I think in November of 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Let me just read you five lines from the CIA report released months before Kennedy's assassination. When a part of your brain receives a tiny electrical impulse from outside sources, such as vision, hearing, etc., an emotion is produced. Anger at the sight of a gang of boys beating an old woman, for example. The same emotions of anger can be created by artificial radio signals sent to your brain by a controller. You could instantly feel the same white-hot anger without any apparent reason. The Warren Commission that investigated Kennedy's assassination, folks, was also interested in this. I mean, I don't think you've heard any of this stuff ever before. It was, I got to tell you, although I kind of suspected it, it was kind of shocking to read and to research. In a 1964 memo to the Warren Commission regarding the possibility that Lee Harvey Oswald had been a mind-controlled assassin, Helms outlined the existence of, quote, biological radio communication, unquote. Cybernetic science of communication control theory that is concerned with the study of automatic control systems, such as the brain and mechanical electrical communications, can be used in the making of a child's character, the inculcation of knowledge and techniques, the amassing of experience, the establishment of social behavior patterns, all functions which can be summarized as control of the growth process of an individual. I hope I'm not being too technical for you. I'm hoping you're finding this as fascinating. I mean, I found this stuff fascinating, particularly with what's going on out there. And wait till I come to the conclusion of this. I mean, just you wait. Just you wait. And the conclusion is pretty damn close right now. There was another CIA directive and a brochure called Cybernetic Technique. It was developed by this EMR study facility, electromagnetic research study facility in Washington, D.C., by the name of Mankind Research Unlimited. Gee, another CIA-funded deal. Imagine that. Quote, means by which information of modest rate can be fed to humans utilizing other senses than sight or hearing, unquote. And then it talks about this research they did in Eastern Europe on people without them knowing, and got positive results. I mean, they were able to direct their actions and their emotions. Quote, I'm talking about the experiments in Eastern Europe. Quote, involved beaming information via radio frequencies to individual human nerve cells for the enhancement of a subject's mental and physical performance, unquote. Yeah, gee, great. Kill that person over there. Yes, I will. Okay, quote, recently, research from the University of Washington showed they could send one person's thoughts through a computer to control the hand motion of a person sitting a half a mile away. The team first demonstrated this brain-to-brain connection was possible in August of 2013. But now, researchers have put the technology through more rigorous testing and are close to making it usable in real-world scenarios. By the way, you can look that article up in Live Science if you'd like to. I mean, I'm giving you a library of stuff here. There were neuroscientists, by the way, in France who were kind of on the same track. In 2016, the Daily Mail reported that scientists had discovered, quote, a disturbing trick to plant false experiences into people's brains, unquote. In 2014, the Huffington Post, I mean, these are all, you know, there's way too much smoke here for there not to be fire, folks. What can I say? In 2014, the Huffington Post says, quote, this was a headline, mind control is becoming a reality, unquote. There's an article. Actually, I'm going to save that. I'm going to give it to you at the end. There is another article, however, you might want to look up at http://www.biggerthansnowden.com, biggerthansnowden.com, which will tell you more about this stuff and some of the stuff that Snowden leaked that had to do with this, which, of course, the mainstream media hasn't mentioned at all. Big surprise. Asleep at the switch, purposefully asleep at the switch, I might add. Purposely asleep at the switch. Now, let me tie this in for you. In the wake of the Florida shooting, you know, the Parkland shooting, there is, did you notice, like, right away there was anti-NRA rhetoric? Remember, now, the left, the globalists, including those that funded a lot of this research, the Rockefellers, Fords, etc., they don't want a population that can fight back. And the way you get a population that can't fight back is to make sure they are not weaponized, i.e. the Second Amendment. Do you notice how quickly the calls for anti-gun stuff come up after almost every single incident? The one exception, by the way, in the last year or so, being the Google deal coming down out there in California, where this gal shot herself and shot another guy and I think wounded a third person. And then we come to find out she's an Iranian here without the proper immigration documents and had a grudge against Google and was an avowed, she couldn't vote, but she was an avowed, should we say, Democratic type. How's that? Suddenly the media didn't want to cover that story. How amazing is that? A foreign Iranian woman who goes crazy. All right. There was I ought to be kicked off the air for that. It is not that I am bored, folks, because I find this stuff fascinating. It is that I am really tired, and my apologies to my audience for yawning. But, and if you don't hear the yawn, once again, the producers cut it out. Good old producers. There was a kind of a movement, like I'm talking about within 24 hours of the high school shooting in Florida, that was called No NRA Money, which turned out to be an organization behind a national grassroots kind of pledge campaign that, quote, seeks to break the NRA's stranglehold that has thwarted meaningful progress on common sense gun policy, unquote. Now, No NRA's Money, their website, was purchased from behind a proxy, that is kind of an anonymous, you know, a cloak, if you will, was purchased by the proxy less than one day after the February 14th shooting at Parkland High School. Less than one day. Now, you know, I don't know who of you have purchased a website, but, you know, getting the name and getting this and getting that and having everything ready to go and a page up is not a one-day process. It takes longer than that. So what did these No NRA folks, and I'm going to tell you who they're affiliated with, what did they know? What did they know? If you follow the No NRA Money, you come to the finance campaign in 2015 of Hillary Clinton. Let me repeat that. If you follow the money chain, it leads you, one of its main trails, leads you to the Clinton campaign in 2015. So, there's a bunch of, you know, left-wingers that have signed on to this. But I find it fascinating that would take a week or two to really set up and have a web page and all that kind of stuff was done in less than 24 hours from the time of the shooting, and that one of the main people that are involved in it and the organization itself has direct financial links to the Hillary Clinton campaign beginning in 2015. I find that fascinating. Fascinating. I have an article I'd like you to read. Write this down. I Hear Voices, : McCultra, M-K-U-L-T-R-A, ? A worrying trend of mass shooting suspects throughout history before committing horrific murders. I Hear Voices, McCultra, ? A worrying trend of mass shooting suspects throughout history before committing horrific murders. I think you might be really fascinated. And to continue, the person who was kind of running No NRA Money was also the executive director of Equality Florida. Her name was Nadine Smith. And she also serves as CEO of Equality Florida Institute and Equality Florida Action, Inc., two supposedly nonprofit organizations. She's paid about $164,000 a year. And both organizations are linked, and so is she, to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and a number of other Democrats. Both outfits give and support Democrats. Do you know who is on the... And by the way, you can look at Hillary for America 2015. Hillary America for 2015 document. Scroll down to Joining the Hillary for Florida Leadership Council. Scroll down to Joining the Hillary for Florida Leadership Council, and you can read about the financial links here with these people who managed, God, with no forewarning, to set up a website, buy a domain, have the name, be all ready to go, nonramoney.com, within 24 hours of the Parkland shooting. Now, do you know who's on either the board or highly placed in Hillary's Florida Leadership Council, the funding source for the No NRA Money, or the group behind the No NRA Money deal? Number one, that same Nadine Smith. Nadine. She's in there again. Broward County Commissioner Dale V.C. Holness. County Councilwoman and DNC member Joyce Cusack. You're going to love this. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. And Broward County Commissioner Barbara Sharif. So all these people, the county commissioners, the sheriff of Broward County, you know, the guy who directed his deputies through his lieutenant or his captain, whatever, to not go in the building during the shooting, but to establish a defensive perimeter. The guy who blames he's on CNN blaming the NRA, getting in Dana Loesch's face. In the meantime, days before and one day after the horrific event, that his deputies did not go in and stop when they could have because of his orders, and the shooter is a susceptible kid on psychotropic drugs that the FBI had known about specifically on two occasions, and to whose home the Broward Sheriff's Department had been at least 27 times. And he could still buy a gun. And no disciplinary action was taken. Were these all just... I'm asking a rhetorical question. Were these all just incompetent steps or lack of steps, folks? Or was there something more going on here? I mean, you'll have to ask yourself. And was this kid susceptible? One of the things he said was that he heard voices. Stephen Paddock, Of course, he's dead. But Stephen Paddock down there in Las Vegas, the supposed shooter down there, was telling people he was hearing voices leading up to that Las Vegas scene. Anyway, I find this fascinating. And I find the links to people highly, highly, highly in power and to the intelligence agencies, the deep state, the shadow government. And I find the financial ties between really rabid Democrats and Hillary Clinton, etc., to be remarkable. So, the bottom line is we know mind control exists. We know is from certain types of electronic frequencies. We know that it will create kind of a bouncing effect in your skull. Nobody else will be able to hear it, but you will hear, yes, voices. I hope you look up some of these other articles, because I think this is, can you imagine if they could get it to the point where they could tell people how to vote? Let me leave you with that thought. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I won't be talking to you next week, but you'll be listening to my great interview with George Nouri on Coast to Coast on Agenda 21, which will, it'll make you think, let me tell you. Particularly with those shows I've done the last on and off the last 3 or 4 weeks with reparations, what's happening in South Africa, what's happening in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe. Yep, you think about it. You lose your property to the social justice warriors. Listen, folks, in the end, it's about the haves, the have-nots wanting what the haves have. In the end, that's what it is. And putting the haves in a position where they can't defend what they have. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.